From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It's 9:06. I am Jake Skorheim, your host. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. First 2 hours of the show, dynamite. Pretty good. A lot of fun. If you didn't get a chance to check those out, download the podcast. It's really easy to do. We don't ask much of you. It's free. You can get it on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Download it. Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. And if you like it, then feel free to leave a review. And if you don't like it, then, you know, feel free to say nothing. That's what we'd prefer if you don't like it. But whatever. I don't know. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. All right. Let's get to it. We got a lot of news stories to cover. This one, it just doesn't go away. I find this story endlessly fascinating. I don't know why this is, but the entire world really, really seems to care about this. Like a lot. It's kind of getting out of control.
This business will get out of control. It'll get out of control and we'll be lucky to live through it.
All right, so what am I talking about? Of course, I'm talking about day number, I don't know, this is like, we've been talking about this all week. So day number at least 5 for us, because this all happened on Sunday. On Sunday in the UK, the Princess of Wales posted a photo of her and her kids. And they discovered that it was actually doctored in some way. It was manipulated. And so they decided to take the photo down. Not the Kensington Palace who released the photo. All of the news agencies were like, oh, we got to kill this photo because it's not truthful and it's not showing the truth. And then this became a massive conspiracy over in the UK, which then became a massive conspiracy over here in the USA. And people were saying, well, what's going on with Kate? Where's Kate? Because Kate was having abdominal surgery, apparently, like a few weeks back. She had some surgery and then she was recovering for a while. And they hadn't really seen her. So people want to know, like, how's she doing? Is she feeling good? Is she, did she recover? I don't know how specific they were about what surgery she was having. So I think people were very interested. Like, is the future Queen of England doing well? And so this was kind of the first time that they were able to see her out. She looked healthy. She looked great. Her family's smiling. Everything looks great. Except the picture is apparently not legit. And so that's a problem. And everyone in England is talking about that. And now in America, we're talking about it too. So listen to this. This is how much this has escalated. So originally when I was telling you guys this story, it was all like online stuff. And then the White House was asked about it. And that's kind of where it crossed the bridge into crazy town, I think, when the White House press secretary is now issuing official White House response to people wondering if Kate Middleton is okay. When in reality, probably what happens, like, they just were editing a picture because that's what people do when you go on social media now. Like, nothing's real on social media. Everything is fake. Unless you watch one of my videos that I make every day and post to the website. You can see those on my various social media pages. And those are all legit. No doctoring of those photos. I'm just giving you me. That's me. Blemishes and all. So anyway, she was probably just manipulating the photo and got caught doing it. But they still haven't actually really seen her outside of this photo. And so nobody really knows what's going on. But anyway, here's how crazy it got. One, you had the White House commenting and wishing her well and hoping she's fine. Two, you now have the AFP or Agence France-Presse. They are the biggest news agency, one of the biggest news agencies in the world. They announced on this radio show, they were on BBC4. They were talking to the director, the news director, was saying, listen, normally when we get a photo from Kensington Palace, we view them as a trusted source, right? Because it's the palace. It's connected to the King of England. It's the palace. So we normally can trust them. But now we no longer trust them. But listen to this. He first explains. This is, what's his name here? His name is Phil Chetwynd. He is the global news director for AFP or Agence France-Presse. And he was telling the BBC what a trusted source is and how they go about posting these photos. And this is really interesting because it gets all the way to North Korea, which is crazy. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But he was describing what a trusted source is.
One thing immediately that the question is posed is, where does it come from? Because it's all about the source of the content. Is it a trusted source? Is it somebody with whom we work all the time? So in the case of the palace or Kensington Palace, these are people that we work with all the time.
So they would be considered a trusted source?
They would, because we've worked with them repeatedly, and because usually it would be our own photographer doing stories with them. And occasionally there are handout photos of key moments such as this, which we would be used to dealing. So there's a level of trust between us and them at that point.
All right, but according to Phil, that trust has now been broken.
You said that Kensington Palace was a trusted source for you at the AFP. Is it still a trusted source?
No, absolutely not. Like with anything, when you're let down by a source, the bar is raised, and we've got, you know, major issues internally as to how we validated that photo. We shouldn't have done. It violated our guidelines, and therefore, you know, we sent out notes to all our team at the moment to be absolutely super more vigilant about the content coming across our desk, even from what we would call trusted sources.
So one of the things that people are kind of talking about, they're like, all right, well, so like, why is this such a big deal that somebody edits a photo? It's not that big of a deal. Like I was saying, everybody seems to do this on social media. It's like people have entire careers based off of photos of themselves that aren't real. You can become a social media influencer. There's like AI social media influencers. You can get famous and rich and not even be a real person. That's what the internet does now. So they were saying, like, why is this such a big deal? If it's just a family photo that they, you know, that Kate and William put out with them and their, you know, happy kids, why do we care so much? And so one of the head of photography for The Guardian, which is a big, you know, big paper over there, who covers a lot of royal news, they explained why this crossed over into a different kind of story. It wasn't just about the family photo. It was about something else.
I think what's really important to note here is that it wasn't just a picture about Mother's Day. It was also a picture that was, you know, issued to illuminate the Princess of Wales' good health. So it kind of, it then transported it into a different news category.
The newsiness of it is what's also funny, because like we played this clip the other day, this on The View, they were discussing this. I think it was yesterday, maybe. But on The View, they were discussing this. And Whoopi Goldberg was like, listen, guys, like, why do we care about this? And all the other ladies on The View were like, no, we really care about this. This is important news. My wife really cares about this story. I don't know how much she actually cares about it, but she's very interested in the story. There is a gossipy nature to this story because it is kind of, if I'm being completely honest, it's getting a little bit like, all right, well, like, what is going on? Because it would be very easy for them to just say, hey, Kate, why don't you step out here on the balcony, give a little wave to the people, and let them know that you're okay. But I can also understand the family side where they're like, listen, like, we don't want the general public and the news agencies and everybody's fervor to see, you know, our lives to make sure that we don't want them dictating our schedule and telling us what to do. We're royals. I'm speaking as them. I'm not royal. But I can understand them being like, listen, like, nobody tells us what to do. I wear a crown to work. Like, I'm not going to, you know, show up and wave and smile just because somebody tells me I have to. Like, there's some benefits to being a royal. And one of them is you can kind of do what you want, I would think. Anyway, The View started discussing this. It was a pretty funny conversation. I'll play just a quick clip here. And then we'll get into how this ties into North Korea and Iran, which is bananas.
There is a reason we care about this, and not to make it heavy. Not to make it heavy, but like, we know the treatment around Diana. We know what Meghan Markle and Prince Harry went through. And now you have a princess, a queen in waiting that hasn't been seen, and the stories just don't pan out. She could resolve this, the palace could, in 2 minutes by putting her direct to camera.
But why do you feel like you're...
Well, because they are head of state.
She took a picture. She said, listen, I photoshopped it myself. I did it.
She didn't take it.
Whoever took it.
Someone took it of her.
They
photoshopped the photo. The palace also made a mistake here.
And then they released two photoshopped photos.
We're going to go to break.
No.
You know, you haven't had this done to you. It's our fault. It's our fault because we bought into this. When you buy into this stuff, when they start doing it to your family or they start doing it to your kids, it's not cute. It's not fun, and it really irritates
I don't know what's wrong.
I don't trust the royal family, to be truthful.
I don't trust the royal family.
I mean, they may be I understand.
They're all made. They're all made up.
Because
yes.
you've had personal
yes.
feelings about this.
Yeah.
But, you know, let us not forget, what's his name? The Edward VIII, who abdicated the throne.
Yes.
They said, they put out this, that he had.
I love how Joy injects some actual history to this. But she's, I mean, she's like looking down at her notes, I think, to come up with Edward VIII.
Had to leave because he was in love with an American divorcee.
Yes.
The truth of it was he was a Nazi collaborator.
Yes.
We did not know this until
years
later.
Oh, no, they knew.
Now everybody knows why they sold the horses.
She's saying that's why he abdicated the throne, because he was a Nazi. Did she say he was a Nazi collaborator?
Know this until
oh, no, they knew.
Later.
They
but
know this.
He was in love with an American divorcee.
Yes.
The truth of it was he was a Nazi collaborator.
Yes.
We did not know this until
years
later.
Oh, no, they knew.
Later.
They know this.
Now
knew.
Everybody
they
knows
knew.
It.
They knew why they sold
but
the horses. They, why they
but that was a big secret. No one had to be, no one was told.
So if we,
now,
if we're going to get
crown,
pissed off at everybody who's
it.
Lied to us,
they lie.
We're not going to be able to live here.
No.
I'm worried about Kate. The problem with the photo,
I'm worried about Kate.
People think it's because we're hating on them. I'm actually worried about Kate.
They're actually worried about Kate. All right, so here's another thing. I'm gonna wrap this up. We spent way too much time on this. I'm sure Kate's fine. But I'm gonna play this really fast clip. This is interesting. So Phil Chetwynd, he's the global news director for AFP. He was talking to the BBC4 earlier today, and he was saying this is not something they have to do very often. Kill these photos. They put out a kill notice, which sounds really awful, but it's really just stop printing this photo. They put out a kill notice on this photo. And so the BBC4 guy goes, hey, like, how often are you putting out these kill notices on these photos? And he says, not very often.
To kill something on the basis of manipulation, once a year maybe, you know, I hope, mm-hmm. I hope less. The previous kills we've had have been from, you know, the North Korean news agency or the Iranian news agency, just to give you some background or context.
That's crazy. And so now he's like, yeah, the only other time we do this really is, I don't know, it's very rare, but we tend to do it when you're dealing with countries like North Korea. I think he said Iran also. So when you think about like the UK and you think about the future Queen of England editing a photo, and now we're talking about Iran and North Korea. I mean, come on. This has gotten crazy. Just show us, right? Come on, Palace. Just show us a picture of Kate hanging out. Maybe like a little video of Kate and William maybe walking across the courtyard. Just hanging out. Just being normal people. Or just being royal. Whatever royals are doing in the evenings, just get a little shot of that. Just so we know that everything's okay. And then Kate, like, blink twice. If everything's fine, just blink twice. If everything is okay. That's all we want. Like, I don't know. It's not asking that much. It's just like a tiny thing. But I guess we're going to keep following the story as long as it keeps going. You know, Matt asked me yesterday. He said, why do you think this story is so popular? Why do people care about this so much? The honest answer is, I think because people feel confident that she's fine, and it's silly. I think that's why people care about this story. I don't think they really care about it. It's like cotton candy. It's like, it kind of is just an easy thing to have, and it doesn't really add much to your life, but it doesn't really take away much from your life. And there's no risk to it. We're not talking about, you know, a war happening somewhere. We're not talking about, horrible things. We're just like, oh, well, isn't it funny that she put out this edited photo? And I wonder why she's not out in public. It's silliness. It's total silliness. I've spent way too much time on it. All right, let's move on real fast here. All right, so this was funny. I actually thought this was, actually, no, I won't, I'll get to that next. Jenna Bush Hager, who hosts part of the Today Show, she was saying, she's the daughter of George W., President W., George W. Bush, and she was saying that he really loved it when they used to make fun of him on SNL. And so I pulled a clip of that. I also have some funny clips of Will Ferrell as George W. Bush on SNL, and then some of the more famous SNL president bits over time. So we'll get into that in just a few minutes, so stick around for that. But really quickly, yesterday we were talking about TikTok. Everyone was talking about TikTok and how TikTok in the House, let's see here, in the House of Representatives yesterday, they overwhelmingly voted for a bill, bipartisan, 352-65, for a bill that could lead to a TikTok ban or possibly something in between. Let's see here. So basically what the bill says is that it forced TikTok to divest itself of Let's see here. Speaker Johns, Communist China is America's largest geopolitical foe and is using technology to actively undermine America's economy and security, said Speaker Mike Johnson. Today's bipartisan vote demonstrates Congress's opposition to Communist China's attempts to spy on and manipulate Americans and signals our resolve to deter our enemies. So they just want the company to separate from the CCP in China. And that's all they're basically trying to do. If they fail to do that, then if this passes in the Senate, which is the next hurdle, if they fail to do that and it's, you know, 6 months from now, they still haven't found a buyer for the company, then yes, possibly TikTok could end up banned in the U.S. But will that happen? Who knows? Yesterday on the show, we were talking about like, all right, well, they're going to have to force a buyer for this company. Is anybody going to line up to buy it? Which, of course, they already are. Former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin was on CNBC, and he had kind of a surprise announcement while he was talking about this TikTok thing.
Well, you know, when I was Treasury Secretary, I chaired CFIUS, and CFIUS approved, and I had President Trump sign an order that TikTok had to be sold. And I continue to believe that. So I think the legislation should pass, and I think it should be sold. I understand the technology. It's a great business, and I'm going to put together a group to buy TikTok.
You're trying to buy TikTok?
I am, because this should be owned by a U.S. businesses. There's no way that the Chinese would ever let a U.S. company own something like this in China.
You say, have you already put a group together?
Yeah, well, I'm working
You're
on it.
You're exploring a group.
I've spoken to a bunch of people, but
who would be part of your group?
I can't tell that to you now, but it would be a combination of investors. So there would be no one investor that controlled this. And the issue is all about the technology. This needs to be controlled by U.S.
Let me ask you a very
All right, so TikTok might have a buyer. We'll see. Will TikTok, what's that song? TikTok, you don't stop. Will it stop in the United States? Who knows? I mean, we're going to have to see if this thing passes in the Senate. And then if it does, then they're going to have to try to force a sale. And then if the CCP and TikTok agree to do this, then they would probably have a, I imagine, on this wildly successful, addictive social media site, they could pretty quickly find a buyer. I'm pretty sure of that. All right. Next, we are going to talk about some very funny clips. Jenna Bush Hager, formerly Bush Hager, but now I think it's just Jenna Bush Hager, I guess. She hosts Today Show, and she is the child of George W. Bush. He was in the White House. She grew up in the White House for part of her life, and she was saying that when her dad was on SNL, not when he was on it, but then when they were making fun of him on SNL, he loved it. He loved it. He thought it was hilarious, which is great to know. I mean, when somebody has a sense of humor about themselves, that's nice. We like that. I'm going to play that clip, and I went ahead and found some of the best presidential SNL sketches from SNL's history. So I'm going to play you some of those next. We're going to have a lot of fun. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Okay, before the break, I was telling you that I didn't actually see this happen on the Today Show because I actually don't watch the Today Show, but I do watch clips of it if they have something interesting to talk about. So I saw this clip and I thought it was actually really funny and refreshing and nice, and I liked it. Jenna Bush Hager, she is the, she is the daughter of a former president. She's also the granddaughter of a former president. How crazy is that? So she was talking about how her dad, George W. Bush, loved it when SNL used to make fun of him. And so her and her sister would like always find the clips of her dad being made fun of on SNL. Will Ferrell played a great George W. Bush, and they would show it to him, and he got a kick out of it. And when I hear stories like this, when I hear that politicians or people in the public eye don't mind being made fun of, when their egos are not so very delicate that they can stand up to this type of stuff, I like that. All right, anyway, so here's the clip of Jenna Bush Hager talking about making fun of her dad.
When he was the president, we would show him, like, the Saturday Night Lives where they made fun of him and stuff.
Well,
he loved
did?
It. Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Like when Will Ferrell did all those things?
When Will Ferrell, but there were other comedians that also did things.
Dana.
And then we were like, we told our dad. He didn't... He didn't care.
See, that's the difference.
He thought it was hilarious.
You know, that's the difference.
Yeah.
I think if you can't laugh at yourself, then you feel like there's some truth to it or something.
Yeah.
That makes you
But
extra.
Also, what? If you're going to be the president of the United States,
you gotta have a thick
people
skin.
Are going to make fun
yes.
of you. And guess what?
What?
It ain't just about you.
It
that's
ain't.
How it is, man.
That's how it
that's
is.
That's how it is. That's how it's always been. So we went
right.
Always...
Don't take it personally. Just laugh about it.
It was hilarious.
But you know, that's the thing. Like every time we do a segment about Biden's age or something, there's always somebody who texts in. They're like, it's not nice. Biden's so old. And you go like, well, yeah, I know. But is that like a get out of jail free card? Are you not allowed to have any criticism or make fun of a president at all? Historically, people tend to make fun of presidents. And just watch. If Trump happens to become president again, I don't think anybody's going to have a problem making fun of Trump when he does crazy things, and he will do crazy things. I don't think people will have any problem making fun of Trump just because he's an old guy. Trump's 77. If he wins this, he's going to be like 78 in his first year in office. He'd be 82 by the time he finishes if he makes it that long. I don't think people are going to have a problem making fun of Trump's age. But they certainly seem to have a problem making fun of Biden's age, which is odd. Anyway, Will Ferrell made a very funny George W. Bush on SNL. These clips of Will Ferrell are so classic. You guys know I love me some Will Ferrell, so I was happy to highlight this one. But this is Will Ferrell as George W. Bush, and he's on like a ranch setting. It's very, I don't know, it's pretty funny. Here it is.
Hello, America. It's me, your president, your commander-in-chief of the world. And I'm here at my ranch here in Crawford, Texas, just taking a little R&R, you know, relaxing, growing out my soul patch, playing a little frisbee golf with Condi Rice and Dick Cheney, having a good time. But
his accent, I'm going to pause it there real fast. His accent's actually pretty good. I feel like he's got it down pretty good.
But still keeping my eye on.
I also love how he says I'm president of the world.
The ball. And there's an issue that has come to my attention. The issue of the so-called global warmings that are happening on our planet. For centuries, the rays of the sun have warmed the surface of our Earth's crust. And apparently those rays are intensifying in such a way that it's increasing lava flows. And... I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Very funny. All right. Dana Carvey. He played George H.W. Bush, who is George W. Bush's dad, obviously, who was also president of the United States. Also the grandfather of Jenna Bush Hager. That'd be crazy if not only your dad, but your granddad was also president of the United States. Pretty cool. So Dana Carvey, hilarious. He does some of the best impressions. Like, do you guys ever listen to his show, Fly on the Wall? He does a show. It's a podcast. I think they also have some video element now, too. But he does a podcast with David Spade. Both of those guys, former SNL guys. Dana Carvey cannot help but just break into impressions. He's just like a master impressionist. Sounds like a painter, right? I mean, like, but it is like an art, what he does. He becomes these guys. So he used to be able to become George H.W. Bush. Not gonna do it. He's very good at it. So I'm going to play you a quick clip of Dana Carvey here.
During my campaign for president, certain things were said. Things like, read my lips, no new taxes. And when I said it, I meant it. But situations change. Now, of course, the Democrats are going to urge a big tax increase, 8, 10, 12%. Not God that. I'm talking 3, 4% tops, no more than 5. That's it. So read my lips, no huge new taxes.
Oh my gosh, this guy's good. Listen to this. I'm going to play you this. This is not an SNL bit. This is another bit he does sometimes in his stand-up. But he told this story recently on his podcast, Fly on the Wall. Check it out. He talks about this joke he does now about Biden and the border. It's pretty funny, but you hear some of the Biden impression. I mean, he's just spot on with Biden.
I started with Biden because the border's all the rage now. Everyone's crazy for the border. Mm-hmm. So I did Biden 3 years ago, and he's at a press conference. You know, Mr. President, do you have any idea of how you're going to handle the crisis at the border? And Biden's like, first of all, let's get our facts straight. There's no crisis at the border. Come on. And he goes, how do you know, sir? He goes, because it says so on the piece of paper. Come on.
They just handed me.
It says on the paper, There's a paper right there. I close it. And then recently, everyone wants to close the border. Everyone's screaming. Biden's up there. I'll close the border harder than anyone's ever closed the border. I know how to close borders. Come on, Jack. But the press is like, but last time, get your facts straight. I'll beat you the hell out of you. Will you, dog pace on his shoulder? Come on, let's do some push-ups. I'll close the border like nobody's ever closed it. The border patrol, the border can't believe it's not butter.
Can't believe it's not butter. Very funny guy. All right, finally, in presidential impressions on SNL, Phil Hartman, super funny guy. Rest in peace. He played Bill Clinton, among many other things. He also does, if you get a chance, like go watch Phil Hartman as Ronald Reagan. He has this thing called Mastermind. Just type in on YouTube, Phil Hartman, Ronald Reagan, or just Reagan, Mastermind. So, or just SNL Reagan Master. I don't know. You can find it. Whatever. You can find it. It's very, very funny. But Phil Hartman plays Bill Clinton and nails him. This is Bill Clinton. He's on a run. And he's with a couple of members of his Secret Service, and they stop off at a McDonald's, like 2 minutes into the run.
All right, boys. Let's stop in here for a second. I'm a little parched from the jog.
Sir, we've only been jogging for 3 blocks. Besides, Mrs. Clinton asked us not to let you into any more fast food places.
Well, I just want to mingle with the American people, talk with some real folks, maybe get a Diet Coke or something.
Fine. But please, don't tell Mrs. Clinton.
Jim, let me tell you something. There's going to be a whole bunch of things we don't tell Mrs. Clinton. Fast food is the least of our worries.
Ridiculous. All right, so those are some of the SNL impressions. They usually do a pretty good job making fun of presidents, so I hope that they continue that tradition because I enjoy it. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We got the final segment of the night coming up. I always save the very best for last. I'm going to deliver it to you next, so stick around for that here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, I got two stories to tell you really, really fast. I'm going to do my best to get to them, but thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. I think it's been a really fun show. We've had a good time. It's been a really great week so far. I mean, for Thursday, this week has flown by. I feel like it should only be Tuesday, but it's already Thursday. My goodness, time flies when you're having as much fun as we're having on the show. I hope you're having fun. I'm having fun. Doesn't matter. Maybe I'm the only one having fun. All right. This is kind of great news. I saw the story. I was fascinated by it. I wanted to bring it to you because it's like two things. One, it made me actually kind of feel better about the future. And two, it alleviated some stress. Maybe not for me because I'm not like massively concerned about this on a day-to-day basis. I have kids. I worry about kids and things like that. I'm not a person who sits there all day wondering what I can do to help the climate. But I do want the climate to be good, you know? I mean, they keep telling me that it's in bad shape, so I want it to be in good shape. But I'm wondering, like, how do we fix that problem? How do we fix that problem? According to researchers, according to this new story, we may not be able to fix that problem. Now, you might think that that sounds scary, but I actually think, well, maybe that's not such a crazy thing because then we can focus on other things that we might be able to fix. But you might be asking yourself, all right, so if we can't fix that problem, and maybe we didn't even create the problem, according to these researchers, that's not me, that's according to these researchers, then who's to blame? Like, that's another question. Who is to blame for our world's bad climate issues that they're having right now? Well, if your guess was Mars, you would be right.
Ladies and gentlemen, following on the news given in our bulletin a moment ago, the Government Meteorological Bureau has requested the large observatories of the country to keep an astronomical watch on any further disturbances occurring on the planet Mars.
All right, so listen to this. How does Mars affect our climate? This is very interesting. So have you guys ever heard of Live Science? It's a website. It's an article. They have always put out articles on interesting things. Listen to this. Every 2.4 million, this is from Live Science, every 2.4 million years, Mars tugs on Earth so hard, it changes the ocean floor. A new geological study suggests that Mars' gravitational field pulls the Earth closer to the sun over cycles lasting for millions of years, warming our climate. So is Mars to blame?
We come in peace.
This is from Mars Attacks. You guys remember that movie? I cannot believe, I had kind of forgotten about it. I think it came out in the mid-90s. There are so many movie stars in that movie. It's unbelievable. Just like watch the trailer for Mars Attacks. You will not believe how many famous, it's literally every famous person who existed in Hollywood at the time is in that movie. All right, so listen to this. Researchers looked at geological data going back more than 65 million years from hundreds of locations across the globe, all of which suggest that deep ocean currents go through periods of strength and weakness, according to the study published in the journal Nature. This cycle is called the astronomical grand cycle, and it happens every 2.4 million years. During the strongest periods, oceanic currents known as giant whirlpools, or eddies, can reach the deepest parts of our seas, an area called the abyss, Live Science reports. These currents then reportedly erode sediments that then start to accumulate during calmer points during the cycle. The wildest part is that this cycle coincides directly with gravitational interactions between our home planet of Earth and Mars, as I've just mentioned, as we fly around the sun, according to the study. Again, you can read all this in Life Science if you want to. If you want to check my facts, read about this in Life Science. But how interesting is that? The idea that Mars, way out there, millions of miles away, is somehow the gravitational pull of that massive planet is so huge on Earth. Just like think about the moon, right? Like, so the moon, it's a satellite that, you know, rotates around us, but it's such a big body out there in space that it actually like changes our currents in the ocean. And that's because of the moon. So you think about Mars, something so far away. When you think about just the size of that, just like the scale that it would have to be, how big that the gravitational pull of that can pull on and actually change our ocean floors. That's amazing to me. I think that's really fascinating. And, you know, if it is indeed lining up every 2.4 million years in whatever gravitational cycle that we're on, and that explains some of why our Earth heats up at times, that's kind of nice to know. I think that's very interesting. All right, last story, really, really fast. We talked about this the other day, and I got a ton of text messages. People were like, this guy's crazy. Don't play his clips. Whatever. He's a presidential candidate. I'm going to play him. I think it's funny. Also, he's got a pretty good last name. He's in politics. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He has recently been talking about how he is considering two guys for his vice presidential pick. Jesse Ventura, former governor of Minnesota and professional wrestler and star of Predator alongside Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Aaron Rodgers, everybody's favorite NFL quarterback. So RFK Jr. was on Fox News recently, and he was describing why he would choose somebody like Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is battle-tested. He's stood up. He's been hammered by the press, stood up for things we believed in. And I like that part of his character. He's a critical thinker, and I think we need that at the time. As, you know, the rise of AI, we need people who understand that you cannot always trust authority. Just because somebody's in charge, it doesn't mean that they're telling you the truth, and we want somebody who is going to critically examine. My father used to say, one of the duties of living as a citizen of a democracy is to maintain a constant posture of skepticism toward authority. And I think Aaron's shown that.
You know what? I don't agree with a lot of stuff that RFK Jr. says, but I do like that quote from his dad where he says, you know, one of your jobs is you always need to question authority. I think that's a smart thing. We need to be skeptical. All right. That's the end of our show. I hope you guys have had a good night. We've had a blast. Super fun show tomorrow. It's a Friday show. Friday shows are the best. They're super fun. We wait all week for them. I hope you're going to enjoy it because we're already working on a great one for you. But for now, I got to go to bed. Night-night.